game, I dove in and read as many related books I could find on such new terms as muscle memory, visualization, mental cue cards, and so on. Remember, these concepts were not well known back then, and of course, there were no sports psychologists working with pro or college athletes. It was a discipline that just didn't exist. There was also a very conservative attitude in pro sports during those days. Big league front offices and coaches frowned on new developments. Indeed, by the time I was playing professional baseball in the mid-1970s, the generally accepted outlook on sports psychology went like this. Any player who needs to see a sports psychologist ought to have his head examined. Yes, it's a funny line, but that was the perception. Left to my own devices, I started to search for psychology books whose insights could be adapted to sports. And one of the very first I read was a book on something called visualization by a successful surgeon, Dr. Maxwell Maltz. His book, Psycho-Cybernetics, which was originally published in 1960 and is still in print today and continues to sell, detailed how he prepared for an operation. In short, he would try to train his hand and finger muscles by visualizing each precise step of the procedure. He would see and plan in his head every aspect of the operation from beginning to end, and only then did he feel fully prepared to go ahead with performing the actual surgery. In effect, this was his way of explaining visualization and muscle memory, and it made sense to me. I started to adapt Dr. Maltz's approach to the way I mentally prepared for every game I played in. Did it always work? Well, let's put it this way. By following this visualization approach, I always entered a game knowing that I was mentally ready, fully focused, and ready to perform at the best of my athletic abilities. Did this ensure that I always hit the ball solidly at every at-bat, or that I made every play in the field? No, of course not. Nobody can guarantee that. But I did play each and every game with a sense of mental preparedness that raised my game to a higher level. And in short, that's really the goal of sports psychology, to raise your sense of readiness so that you can compete at the peak of your athletic potential. My own lucky break. Some years after my playing career, and while I was coaching at the collegiate level, I wrote a book based upon what little research I could find on sports psychology. The Psychology of Winning Baseball was published by Prentice Hall in 1986, and the publication of that book led to an exciting and unforeseen development in my life. In 1989, I received a call from Harvey Dorfman, who was the roving sports psychology coach for the Oakland A's. Harvey was Oakland's secret weapon, and that he counseled and guided ballplayers and coaches on how to confront their fears and anxieties so they could play their game at a higher level. As you might recall, the Oakland Athletics were the dominant team in Major League Baseball in the late 1980s. Dorfman told me that he had read my book and knew that I had played pro ball and had been a successful head college coach. He said that a number of Major League teams had contacted him about his jumping over to their team. But Harvey was content working for Oakland, so he asked me if he could give the other teams my phone number. Flattered and stunned, I of course said yes. Within a matter of a week, I heard from half a dozen Major League general managers, all of whom had been sent my way by Harvey. I ultimately decided to sign with the then lowly Cleveland Indians, mainly because of their front office people at that time, Hank Peters, John Hart, and Dan O'Dowd, impressed me very much with their candid assessment of their organization and their long-range plans to improve the team. My role was to work with their current major leaguers, minor leaguers, and coaching staffs to help them gain a better understanding of basic sports psychology principles and how to apply those principles to their respective abilities. But along the way, I explained to the front office, if you expect me to tell your players just to think positive thoughts all the time, or to just take deep breaths when they're anxious in a game, or to just listen to inspirational music in order to improve their skills, well then, you've hired the wrong guy. In short, that kind of stuff really doesn't work. It's just superficial and artificial. Within 5 years, the Indians, long the laughingstock of Major League Baseball, remember the hit movie, Major League? Routinely playing in front of less than 5,000 fans.